Marlo, this is Universal Soul Love. This is Dr. Lana Love.
And Detective David Love.
Welcome
to our show. All
right,
we'll start over.
It's a blooper. We'll try again.
Go ahead.
Hello, this is Universal Soul Love. This is Dr. Lana Love.
This is Detective David Love.
And we are broadcasting all the way down under from Australia. Welcome to our show.
Glad to have you with us.
It's a great day. Today we are very happy to have our dear friend Alexandra Meadows from Galactic Connection.
Yep. Alexandra Meadows is a very old dear friend of ours. We've been working with Alexandra for a long time. I first met Alexandra when she invited me on Galactic Connection to do an interview on my book, The First Truth, a book of metaphysical theories. And about a year ago, we had Alexandra on the show. And we're so glad to have you back on our show again, Alexandra. Welcome to Universal Soul Love Radio.
Well, thank you. Happy day to both of you.
Now, Alexandra, you're very much known as almost the galactic queen of spiritual circles, aren't you? I'm just absolutely, we're gobsmacked by your website. It's just so packed full of everything, and I mean everything.
No, so true. I mean, we were talking to the producer, Don, and he even said, you are a powerhouse in the spiritual community. I mean, you're just an incredible marketer and networker and blogger and information specialist, disclosure specialist. You just have so much information on so many things.
And we want to thank you very much for that information, because in the world that we live in today, we need this information.
Well, you are very welcome. And you know what? When the message came in 2011, somebody had to do it. So, pretty much, you know, my guidance would not take no for an answer. And it was time for me to step up and step out. And so my life has never been the same since I started GC. I'm honored, and I think all of the ground crew and all of the healers out there know that I am deeply, deeply honored to be there to serve them as well as my creator.
Alexandra, can I ask you a personal question?
Uh-oh. Okay, it depends on how personal.
Alexandra, do you ever sleep?
I do now. You know, I do now. I used to, for about 4.5 years, I was doing a 20-hour day. And that pretty much came to a halt finally June of this year. And it just got to a place where I actually had people within the GC team threatening me. And saying, you know, you're no good for the world if you just don't slow down. And really what it came down to was I suddenly had an epiphany that I got through some of the most difficult, resistant obstacles that I could ever have gone through between the years of 2012 and 2015, especially. 2016, it started to lighten up a bit. Around the summer equinox. I'm sorry, summer solstice. But before that time, it was quite an intense ride. And to be, and I'm going to say elected and selected, which is my favorite terminology, to introduce implants to the entire world was quite an undertaking. You know, you had every single nook and cranny that was of serving the dark agenda, not happy about it. Let's just put it that way. So
I do understand.
Yeah, it was quite an undertaking, and one in which I look back now and I say to myself, I have no idea. But you know what? My entire audience, all of our clients, which are thousands upon thousands of people around the world, all of the healers, they were all part of that. They helped us get through this really intense period because we were all going through it together. We all really didn't know what to expect and how it was going to unfold and how difficult it would be, but we made it. And that's what I'm here to talk about today, is how absolutely overjoyed I am with where we are now. We truly have gotten to the other side of the tipping point. We are truly on our way home. And just to say that almost brings tears to my eyes. I can't have a bad day because I already am so aware of all the things that are changing around the world within Mother Earth, outside of Mother Earth, and within each and every one of us, to the point now where nothing can, absolutely nothing can stop this from being created into the heaven on earth we've so much desired to have.
Alexandra, that is so inspiring. I'm wondering for our listeners whether you could perhaps explain, no doubt lots of our listeners are aware of these things, but some might not be. I mean, I guess to summarize, would you say that our world has been threatened and controlled by dark forces for a very long time, and now we're beginning to win the battle?
Oh, absolutely, most definitely. In fact, I can speak for quite a few of the missions that I've been involved in for several years now, and we had probably some of the most massive victories ever this summer, and this is why there's such an acceleration of changes. One of the main things that has occurred is that each and every enlightened soul that is intentionally focusing on what they can do to lessen the load upon themselves, upon the planet, and upon anyone else that's got a consciousness. That means like all the way down to the ant that's crawling on the ground. Anyone who is intentionally inspired and working towards and intending to make a difference is lifting us to a higher state of consciousness just alone. Now, that on top of all of the amazing, and I'm going to call them light warriors and light workers, no matter how much that's gotten a bad rap. The bottom line is these are people that are creating light, that are extracting and removing darkness, because we were, I would personally say, something like 95% plus darkness in this matrix. And this is a matrix that was supposed to be in, well, I'm not going to say supposed to be. I don't even know if this is supposed to be a matrix at all. But, you know, what we've been desiring to do is bring this to a neutral, more equal state of darkness and light. And I just to look back, I just want to, again, commend. There's so many people that write into me that inspire me. This is why I get up every single day knowing that I have all these comrades around the world that are working, if not harder than I am, and doing some serious heavy lifting on the inner planes to remove all of the stuff that we've been seeing that's dismantling right now. So, you know, some people say to me, well, gee, you know, I'm not very psychic. How do I even know that's really going on? Well, open your eyes and feel it. Like today I was talking to a friend of mine and I walked outside. It had a fresh rain in Southern California, which is not very common. And in that fresh rain, I looked at the leaves on the trees. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but when you start stepping into higher states of consciousness, everything becomes very, very clean and precise and detailed. You can literally see the lines of the trees and the leaves and the flowers and the stems. People know what I'm talking about. And that's what today was. Every day, if you start looking for that, you're going to start seeing it. You're going to start noticing that there's less chemtrails. It's no chemtrail. There are actually days of the week that you go outside and you don't see a chemtrail, which is, that's a miracle unto itself, because we've been living with them for a long, long time. I don't even know if people have seen this. If you watch some of the older movies in the 1970s, there were chemtrails in the 1970s. I just didn't know it, so I didn't see it.
No, I didn't see that either.
Yeah, so we're coming out of that. GMOs, look at the fabulous things that are being done by some of your superpowers, such as Russia and China, who are refusing to receive these tainted seeds and tainted foods from us and other continents and other countries that are selling GMO foods and saying, no, we don't want to have that garbage on our plant, you know, on our continent. This is really affecting the international trade market. It's putting a lot of pressure on those very dark organizations such as Monsanto, who their sole ultimate goal is to bring down the health of the human body. So these are all huge, huge benefits to us that we just kind of talk about and go, oh, yeah, you know, wow, such and such won a lawsuit against Monsanto. I mean, if we go back just a couple of years ago, that was unheard of. So we are making headway. You cannot take something that was literally almost 95%+ dark and think that it's just going to flip a switch overnight. We're literally dismantling this matrix, and we're doing it one step at a time. So we must stay persevering, and we must stay tenacious, and we must stay thinking about what we want, not about what we don't want, because we literally are creating as we speak.
Absolutely. Jeez, you and I and Lana and others have been speaking and having meetings about just the global issues and various things over the years. And this is an amazing, exciting time right now. And I do feel so much more confident and empowered than at any other time that we've had these conversations and email exchanges and meetings about these issues, about dark forces and what's been happening in the world. And I do totally agree with you. We're seeing a shift. We've sort of gone on the other side of the mountain. That's how I feel.
We definitely have. And with the work that I have been privy to and doing in the background, I can assure people that this is happening. These, for example, one thing that we're going to start really getting is that in the dismantling of the matrix, what's really going to happen, and this is why we see the Mandela effect, is that it's literally being uncreated. It is literally being uncreated. Really think about that. So it's as if one day we might have it in our memory, but we don't have it in our reality. Does that make sense?
Wow. No, actually it doesn't, but it's a wonderful,
it's literally
amazing concept.
Yeah. It's being uncreated. And think about it. In order for this to have succeeded, it is without a doubt one of the most divine plans that you could ever put your brain around and say to yourself, wow. Because I think many of us have sat around, you know, the coffee table going, how are we going to get out of this mess? But in reality, this has been something that has been planned all along by the Prime Creator.
So, Alexandra, what you're saying is it's possible to go back into time and neutralize some of the destruction that's occurred.
And we're not actually even going back into time, really.
Correct.
Is that right, Alexandra?
Well, okay,
correct.
You can argue that time doesn't
really
exist.
Even,
but
we're not even really going back in time, Lana. We're actually we're going back into an action, reaction, thought. Okay, so one of those three things. Typically, it starts with a thought. So we're going back to that original thought, and we're uncreating that. And this is why you're going to see more and more Mandela effect as you open up a video and somebody says, hey, wow, watch this video. I found it. And you open it up and it isn't the same as what they saw. It's because everything's energy, so it's going to start getting extracted. There are already many, many dark beings that have been extracted from this planet. Trust me on that one.
It's nice to know that you believe that it's from the good powers causing the Mandela effect, not CERN, because we thought CERN was changing history.
The thing about CERN is a couple things. Number one, it's been shut down. Number two, it's not going to be allowed. And number three, people like Simon Parks and the Consciousness Awareness Group, all of those awesome people that stepped up and really put their intention and said, by God, we do not accept this. This is not our reality. We will not take this. Folks, you got to understand, authority is in our hands.
We have to stop giving our power away.
Exactly. We must step into our authority. And the only way your authority will be able to be carried through is if it's of the purest form and intention from this day forward. No more of this stuff is going to be allowed. Dispensations have been made, decrees have been made, this has already been done. Agreements have been determined, and we've all determined those agreements. So, you know, we are now at a place where all of that's been done. So now we're sitting here talking about, gosh, you know, look at this. It's terrible. Look at what they're doing, child pedophilia and everything else. I'm totally looking forward to that completely being uncreated.
Because same here.
When you climb down that rabbit hole, you know, I just watched a video the other day, and I said to myself, there's absolutely no description to the evil of what has been going on within that community, and it's everywhere.
Yes.
So,
and just for our listeners, I guess a lot of people are calling this Pizzagate or Pedogate. It's to do with all the elite politicians, and Hillary Clinton included, you know, regarding the satanic rituals and the child pornography and child molestation. And it sounds like this is going to be the drama of the decades.
I don't know. I remember when I first turned, when I turned 20 and I first became a private investigator, one of the first thoughts I had was to go after these cults, these hellfire clubs. And I didn't know why, but I think I told you, Alexandra, the experience that I had with Lana, where I relived a past life event where there were these hooded dark figures. They kind of looked like wraiths or grim reapers. And I was literally on a sacrificial table. This was happening in my mind, but we were doing a meditation when this started, when I had this vision, and I was on a sacrificial table, just like you'd see in a horror movie. And I could feel the knife going through my body, and I could feel them abusing me and torturing me. And my higher self called it uncompressed memories that needed to be released. And Lana's friend, who's a healer, Susan Glenn, called it Storm Day. And I don't normally share personal experiences, especially past life stuff, especially publicly, but this was a very vivid, very real, and I don't know where this came from. I mean, I guess psychologists or psychiatrists would call this a childhood memory of some sort that I don't know, or a false memory maybe, but I don't know why my mind would invent something like this so physically real in my body and everything. But this stuff is real. We've had Sasha Stone on our show talking about ritual sexual abuse cults, and I think he talked to us about it in private. But anyhow, I'm very aware of this sort of thing going on in the world, and I've heard it from people in Africa who have seen it, in other parts of the world who know about it.
But this is what, once this reaches the mainstream media, this has got the potential to completely demolish all of the political structures that we have. It's a scandal of the century.
These creatures, these wraiths, these otherworldly beings, these extra-dimensional entities, they feed off of this kind of ritual abuse. They're like sharks during a feeding frenzy, and they actually get excited by it when this happens, by the screaming and whatnot. And I don't know what they are. I'm speaking about things that I'm not fully aware of, but I know this is real. And there's just things going on in the world that we don't know about. Most people don't know about. And I'm just telling you what I feel is true.
So, Alexandra, for you to say that this can be undone, not just uncovered, but actually undone, is amazing.
Oh, yeah. It's like where we're going right now is all of those of us who have been seeking and searching and having the guts and the glory to really step down that rabbit hole and look at truths that we never wanted to look at, and especially because they were so entrenched in our psyche, completely the opposite of what we were brought up to believe in. You know, it takes a lot of courage to go down some of these holes and look at and face, you know, some of the horrible things that have been being done. But the reality is they've been done right in front of our eyes. I mean, there's architecture, there's buildings, there's insignias on buildings, there's sacred geometry within cities, there's advertisements. My God, I mean, I just saw art the other day where they think that these artists are just like the greatest artists on the planet, and they have like a six-year-old kid hanging from a cross, and he has a pair of underwear on. You know, I mean, this is stuff that, like, we claim that this is free will. Anybody can do what they want. Yeah, but why are we not questioning why is that coming through that person's head in the first place? You know, what is it about them that's compelling them? You know, children are without a doubt one of the most important things for us to be here to protect. They are our future. They are part of our lineage, and they need our protection. They need our honor, and they need our respect to be able to hold that precious element of purity. This is what we're going back to. So all of us, and I just said this in my interview that was released tonight, was we are really being challenged to really go within. Man, of all the times, it is now. I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of people will maybe not do as many interviews, maybe not put as many articles out, maybe not blog as often, maybe not make as many personal appearances as often, because we are really being compressed at a time, especially those that are the trailblazers, to really go within and really, really get clear on all of ourselves, all the aspects of ourselves, where are we going, what is it that we need to release, and we're being challenged of anything that we are attached to. If we're really, really, really attached to like an invocation, or we're really attached to a guide that we always work with, and we start getting truths that are going to slam right in our faces where we have to look at those, there's no agenda to them or nothing, but we have to look at them and say, am I willing to surrender this to the greater good of my truth and my higher self? This is where we're all at. We're coming to another crossroads. I think it has a lot to do with that Uranus-Pluto thing, too. But again, even that is being dismantled, everyone, because the astrology and the numerology and all these things that we've been living in, even they are systems upon systems and wheels upon wheels that have been created to keep the human race within bondage. And we just don't have a clue what it means to be of free will. We really don't. Not on a conscious level, anyway.
So, Alexandra, you're saying that at this point of time, it's really important to look within to, almost like a private detective, to look for clues and to really question everything we believe in. It's a time to dismantle our own beliefs so we can individually step out of the matrix.
Yes, yes. And it's a time where we do not at all participate in the slander, participate in the upheaval, in the hyper-emotionality that can be created within forums and blog posts, etc. We are truly being kicked in the butt, in a nice way, okay, nudging. We are really being pushed to grow up. I mean, you know, we have been sheltered, and we have been quarantined for a really long time from this moment. And now, you know, basically little by little, doors and windows are opening up for us to really see what's going on. Has anybody noticed that stars are disappearing? Because if you haven't, go outside and start looking. I was with a friend the other night, and we had Skywatch. It's a software program on your mobile app. It's a mobile app. And we were holding it up, and what was being said that was supposed to be in the sky wasn't even there. And it was a clear night.
Okay. I didn't know that, Alexandra. No. That's it's a bit of a worry, isn't it? I mean, I hope we're not going to disappear.
The Matrix is coming undone. So
could we one day just disappear?
Everything's being undone. Remember that ultimately we are supposedly in an illusion. So if the truth is coming forth, we must open ourselves up and really, I mean, I'm going through this right now. I'm in heavy processing mode and training mode for myself, and really taken on some heavy concepts that I never thought of them a certain way, and really looking at everything and really challenging myself that if there's any kind of polarization in the way I'm seeing stuff, to take a look at that and say, well, you know what, I need to work on that some more. And to look at those, if they are going to go on attack, recognize that we are not at the same frequency.
So wouldn't, in terms of examining our own polarization, would that not apply to the so-called dark forces? Because you could argue that dark forces, in fact, don't exist. It's all non-duality.
Actually, the dark forces do exist, and part of the darkness exists from within each of us.
Ah, okay.
So we are the ones that have to contend with that darkness, and how we're going to clean it up. That's part of it. You know, it's an inside job at this point, and it's one in which the messages that are coming in with me are, you've got to stop banking on everybody else's truth and everybody else's opinion and everybody else's teachings and trainings and so on and so forth. You've got to go within and see what rings true for you.
That's right. Stop blaming, stop criticizing, stop. Just empty your heads, empty your faults and limited beliefs, let go of them. Open your mind up to unlimited possibilities. Forget everything you know. That's what my higher power always says. Forget your beliefs. Just because you can't understand anything new until your mind is clear and you're cleansed. And that's
very,
the process
that
it always
has
been.
Very true. That's so accurate, David. And here's the thing about clearing. We haven't even begun to do that because our clearing needs to go all the way back to the time of the point of creation.
That's a long time.
I would venture to say that the majority of us on this planet, in this conscious 3D reality, still do not have those tools to be able to do that. Okay.
Well, I guess that you are, I mean, you are asking a lot of people, I mean, basically, and look, I mean, David and I believe in this very much as well. We're very much for the raising of consciousness of the planet. Now, from my Buddhist background, I guess being fully awakened is reaching enlightenment, which we all aspire to, very hard to do. In the Buddhist sort of philosophy and belief system, you would usually go away and meditate in a cave or dedicate yourself to humanity.
Much harder in life, isn't it?
What would you suggest to do, Alexandra? How can you give our listeners some practical advice about how to do this in a cleansing?
I am a huge proponent for the violet flame. And in fact, I carry the violet flame with me. It's part of my logo. I'm just really big about it. Right now, it's one of the most important tools that you can use for clearing, okay? And especially if you do it with the intention of clearing yourself all the way back to the point of your creation, it's awesome to use. That's number one. Number two is we have really lost a connection with our own dearly beloved Mother Earth. And this is all deliberate. Whether it's you know, we're busy, we're on our way to and from work, we're in our car with rubber tires, we're wearing shoes with rubber soles, we're busy, we don't have a chance to put our feet on the ground and really communicate with her. When I work with clients, that's one of the first things I ask them to do, depending on who they are and where they are and what their blockages are, is I ask them to convene with Mother Earth in a particular way, depending on what it is. I speak with her daily, and people tend to not go there because they don't see her as like a being, like you would see Christ, you know, or Mary Magdalene. They tend to look at her as, well, she's a planet, and, you know, she's provided us life and sustenance. But the reality is that she is very much a being that desperately wants to connect with each and every one of us, like we used to. So that's really, really important, because the more connected we are with our own home, this is our home, she has provided us the womb, the more stable, the more connected we truly can be. And it's just so much a vital part of, you know, we're constantly wanting to connect to above, you know, to the source. You know, we're constantly wanting to go above and outside. But that's another way of interpreting as above, so below. I like to look at all the different angles of very famous slogans and sayings, such as as above, so below. You can also interpret it where, you know, we truly are the marriage between the above and the below. And if we're only focusing on the above, we're only halfway there. So it's very important to engage with the planet. And let me tell you, the third thing, the one thing I'm so passionate that I try to say to all my clients, and that is, when you are going out and just being, let's say you have to go to the grocery store, you have to go get gas, whatever it is that you've got to go do, be in that moment of recognizing you are an example to every person you run into, because chances are they don't know what you know. They aren't as exposed to some of the realities and truths that you're exposed to. And see truly yourself as a torch of light. And when you see them, if they're mad and they're having a bad day and they're rude to you, what can you do to lighten their load? Because you are so, you know, you're so much further along in the path. We need to start looking at other people as, how can I guide them? How can I assist them, and look at yourself as the teacher to them.
That's beautifully said. Beautifully said, Alexandra. Know? And I know that in the past you've said that a lot of people like, well, us and our listeners that are more awake, that see themselves as light workers, may well have been Knight Templars in the past.
Yes, that's
I guess that's, we wanted to talk about the Guardian Alliance that David has been putting together.
Yeah, it sounds like you're leading right into that.
Yes.
We've been talking with
very
leaders
excited
of larger
about
organizations like you with Galactic Connection and others about a Guardian Council or a Guardian Alliance. And it sounds like you were just leading into that, about people being role models and being a shining example to others out in public and everywhere, and just being at your best at all times to be great leaders for others, if that's your calling. And I could be – anyhow, you're sort of – Alexander, you know a lot about the Guardians. You have a lot of information on galacticconnection.com about this. We have limited time to talk about this, but I felt – I had heard the word Guardian and Guardian Alliance before I even read it on your website. So I sort of understood that term, and I sort of know a little bit about my own mystical lineage with the Templars and the ancient Egyptian priesthood, who were basically sort of bureaucrats almost in the governing of the people back then in different times throughout history. So maybe you can give us a little synopsis about who are the guardians as protectors and defenders of the planet and humanity.
Well, guardians come in many different shapes and sizes. I know people have noticed I've done a lot of interviews on the Knights Templar. Just in the work that I've been doing lately, it has really come to my awareness that I was in that historical time period. I was really involved in the creation of the Templars. I couldn't figure it out why I was so obsessed. And after a lot of work that I've done, I'm now realizing that I came here to gather the Guardians, and that has many, many different meanings. On the one hand, it involves, you know, a lot of the High Priestesses, the Knights Templar, you know, a lot of your healers, all the different types of healers and different modalities. That's one aspect of it. The other aspect is, how do we take what might have been pure intention of wanting to right the wrongs of this world, and how do we take that and knowing that it developed into, you know, atrocities and war and bloodshed and bludgeoning and pilfering and rape and, I mean, on and on and on. It just went on from there. And how do we bring that forth? How do we forgive ourselves? Because, frankly, once you start really doing a lot of really deep, heavy-duty clearing, you understand that the only real person that needs to be forgiven is to forgive yourself. Once you really do a lot of it, you don't really have all these, you know, bones of contention with your mother or your father, whoever screwed you or whatever. You kind of realize that it all started with you, because you're going back to the point of creation. You're going back to what occurred in your own personal life. And you see how whatever happened at that point of creation, you carry that pattern out lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. So the Guardians in particular are kind of wanting to protect and serve and bring back the, I'm going to use justices, which probably isn't used in the higher dimensions, but, you know, we're wanting to bring back the justice and the purity of what we want this place to be, which is, you know, we're ultimately striving for heaven on earth. And the Guardians have a very, very particular profile, very specific profile. And there's particular types of lineages and bloodlines within the Guardians that are very, very unique. And some of them are really strong in, you know, like they've had many, 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 many lifetimes as in battle, I'm going to say, you know, fighting for a cause. Well, where we are now is we're recognizing that even that is at fault. You know, that's a faulty way of thinking, because we don't need war if we're going to start from the point of divine love. Mm-hmm. And this is all being uncreated as we speak anyway. But the Guardians themselves, they know who they are, and they're ultimately all being drawn together. They are working on the inner plane much more so than people recognize. They have a great deal to do with stabilizing this planet. If it weren't for the Guardians, we would not have made it through the last 15 years. They are absolutely doing some very heavy lifting with the grids, the vortices, the ley lines, the new grids, removing overlays of sacred geometrical imprints that are binding us, and so on and so forth. I mean, I could go on and on and on. So you have a lot of us that are very zealous and very fearless. that we're just kind of conditioned to just, you know, go into a way of trying to right a wrong. And, you know, it's like we were part of it, too. Okay? I mean, we were part of it. The Knights Templar, it might have started with purity of intention to bring down the church, but it also started with vengeance in our hearts.
So, Alexandra, it sounds a little bit of like the Christian belief of original sin. Do you think it has a parallel there? It's almost the sense that we are all responsible for this in some way.
You mean being in a fallen world? I'm just gonna jump in real quick and just mention something that Alexandra was talking about in relation to what you're saying. Now, I do remember in a certain way about my own past lives and how we.
Aha, you were guilty, How many battles did you fight?
There's different. I have a collective of. Past lives, or they're not really past lives per se, but anyhow, past life personalities. They were involved in secret societies and various, you know, teachers, druids, whatever.
Alexander the Great.
They were, like I said, they were bureaucrats, and they served the powers that be of those time periods, and they made deals with extra dimensional entities, blood covenants, because they were promised power and influence and wealth and whatnot. And so the mystics, or whatever, sorcerers, magicians, whatever term you give them, priests, high priestesses, whatever, they were both good and bad. You know, they were dark and light. They served the dark forces, but they were those that were the keepers of the truth and the keepers of the light.
So you're saying, David, that original sin is to do with past life actions that were not so...
Karma, I'm not sure. I'll let you and Alexandra have this part of the conversation.
Alexandra, enlighten us, please.
Well, my opinion is, you know, if you were a creation of divine love, there is no sin. But what I also feel is there were definitely extraterrestrial beings that took it upon themselves to rip off and steal the very essence and DNA of ourselves. One thing I totally agree with, Adam Apollo about. And he mentions how the dragons were really irritated because the Arcturians stole their DNA, and it was this very sacred, horrible thing for them, and caused the aftermath of the reptilian rage today. Well,
yes.
I don't think that's any different than what's been going on with the human race.
Mm-hmm.
The only difference is, many of us have been either amnesic or completely oblivious to it.
Right.
Because we've been so veiled. So my opinion, if you wanted to categorize it as original sin, is the fact that the very essence and DNA of your divine spark of love and light was stolen from you. And has continued to be stolen from you, and then is used by those that are the perpetrators. And the unfortunate thing is, because it's your essence, you pay for the damage of the creation that they used your essence with. So they don't pay for it because they used your essence. The boomerang has come back to you. And this is why it's been a perpetual cycle over and over and over again.
So you're saying we're actually carrying the sins of the beings that perpetrated things onto us.
The experience of...
Well, that's not fair.
I don't know if life is fair. You're calling it sin, too. I mean, you're throwing out a lot of strong words.
Well, I mean, I guess,
a lot of
but I guess, you know, it begs the question. I mean, are we actually... do we look within and try to, apart from trying to break out from the illusions, do we try to find the darkness inside of us, or do we instead throw out the darkness knowing that it's not ours?
There's a couple of things. Now, there are certain people where the darkness is there, and you cannot possibly determine that for those individuals. Every one of us must do that ourselves. But in doing so, every time that we face our own music, and what I mean by that is take accountability. And when we take accountability, and most of it at this point is really dealing with other timelines. I think, in my personal experience, the majority of the people that I talk to and associate with, they've done so much work on themselves in this life, you know, they're pretty good. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, Alexander, I'm okay to say that when you met me, you saw it. And me and Lana said it too when she first went on a date with me. You saw that I had a lot of anger and a lot of issues that I was dealing with at times. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I'm not afraid to say that I was one of those people that was struggling with my dark self, you know.
Well, I guess, you know, we all have a certain degree of that, perhaps. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even me, who I seem to identify with the divine, those that are divinely created when you talked about that. But I don't often feel darkness within me. But, you know, as a parent dealing with a difficult teen who can sometimes not behave the best, I can get very angry at her, and I guess that's my own darkness, the ability to not get angry at external triggers is really the ability to break free of that darkness.
That's
is
your
it
power.
Not? Yes, but is that an example of the darkness that can be within us?
Well, actually, I'm even looking beyond that, okay? So first of all, in regards to anger, first of all, we need to just stop beating ourselves up, okay? I mean, that's it in a nutshell. I mean, we are so hard on ourselves. I see this time and time again with clients I work with where we are feeling an immense amount of guilt. We've been carrying it for lifetimes. That's what I refer to, and I wouldn't even say darkness. It's a density. It's weighing
yes.
you down. It's
yes.
It's shackling you, and it's basically like a ball and chain that's keeping you from raising yourself to a higher state of elevation. Okay. I'm sorry. And so in order to remove those densities, you need to go into areas of other timelines, other lifetimes, and look at what were you thinking, what did you create, because you're still carrying that. And it's really important for us to start working with our own teens. You know, when I say I am present, the I am presence includes all of those other aspects of yourself. And we need to acknowledge that there's all these other aspects of ourselves that are our team. They are our team. They came here to assist us. They carry the wisdom. And they aren't necessarily veiled like we are. So when you call, and the same thing applies with guides, angels, ascended masters. If you're going to call them in, if you're calling them in as if they're a god, then what are you saying about yourself? You know, if you're calling them in as a, like I call them in as a friend or an ally or I call them in to maybe assist me with a particular client because I don't have the conscious remembering of a specific tool or what have you. But if you're going to start going within, it's just everybody, it just seems like we're all getting similar, we're getting similar messages that divine creator is really putting out that call to all of us to really start stepping into the all-encompassing part of all of our aspects of ourselves. And so it's a whole different way of doing your healing work and doing your whatever work it is you're talking about. It's a whole different way of seeing yourself.
When you said it's not so much darkness as density, I think I get it, Alexandra. And of course, the Buddhist way is also not to see anything that you do as bad, but to have awareness of it. And I think what you're talking about is stepping into a different way of being, actually stepping into a lighter resonance, seeing things in a different way, realizing, recreating yourself.
Can I give a quick example, a visual? Everyone remembers Scrooge, and everyone probably remembers Scrooge's business partner who comes back as a spirit, and he has heavy chains on him, and he says, these are the chains I built up throughout my life. And we do this, that's the density, the visual density of those chains that we carry lifetime after lifetime after lifetime.
Very, very good point. Very good point. So here we are. We're in the most incredible phase of our lives because we're finally, we've hit the bowels of hell and we are finally stepping out of this. I mean, I couldn't be more happy. You know, I think a lot of people are, it definitely going through physical symptoms. Like, if you aren't getting hit pretty hard, especially in the last 7 to 10 days with a lot of symptoms, maybe headaches, maybe flu symptoms.
I've got neck pain really bad.
Yeah, neck pain. That's definitely one. You're either sleeping a ton or you're not sleeping at all. You know, there's just a lot of things. And this is very indicative of the body acclimating to such incredibly high frequencies that we cannot prevent the body from receiving, you know. So we need to be patient with our bodies, too, because they're going to feel it all. They're going to feel things that they haven't even felt before, you know, like more magnified,
Alexandra,
more amplified.
Why wouldn't the body respond well to high frequencies? I would have thought that we'd be feeling pretty relaxed and calm if we were going into high frequencies.
Because it's made out of matter, and it's a condensed form of matter. So all of your compressed thoughts, feelings, emotions, traumas have been stored in the body. And so as you're moving higher, there's a compression. There's a, how do I say this? There's an assimilation process that's going on. So all these new energies are coming in, and the body is going, oh, my God, where do I put this? Where do I move this other part? Where do I move this and make room for this? You see what I mean?
Wow.
Yeah, I could.
Yeah.
My first book was called Illusion of the Body, and it talks a lot about body consciousnesses and cellular memory and how our mind is affecting the body. And I almost never promote my books on our show, so I thought I'd mention that as a reference.
But that's a brilliant way to understand it, though, that the various organs have their own consciousness.
Absolutely. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
And so this is a wonderful time. It is an amazing time, and we've had a fantastic discussion with you, Alexandra.
Wow, that was really dense, even though it's enlightening. It was, talking with you is always, always absolutely enlightening. I'm going to have to go back and process all of this.
Yeah, I mean, you just give us some of the most incredible information.
I'm not going to complain so much about my neck pain now. No. But look, Alexandra, I know that you also have, we're almost out of time, but you have these wonderful essences and also wonderful ways of helping people take out various
alien implant removal services and the bark flower remedies.
So could you quickly tell us your website and how people may get extra help?
Sure. It is galacticconnection.com, and we are a world-renowned provider of removing implants, and it's a three-step process. We also are just released the Divine Blueprint Reset. I'm really excited about that. It's extremely profound, and it's literally bringing everybody back to the human blueprint that we were supposed to be carrying. You know, getting rid of all the tweaks and the changes that we never really agreed to. So that's really cool. And I've got quite a few new essences going on. I'm just about to release this new oil, David. It's called the Anointing and Upgrading Oil Formula, and it's wow. really great for healers. It's very powerful. It can be used directly with the client or just with yourself to assist the client in holding the changes that you do with them, and also assisting them in upgrading their frequencies and holding, you know, like a space for those changes so that they can hold their own change in their own essence and their own frequency. So that's kind of cool. We've got so much stuff coming. I mean, I'm really, really excited.
Fantastic.
I'm really excited. Yeah.
Yeah, I personally use many of your, I've gone through a lot of your processes and I've used your remedies, and I can give personal testimony. I've gone through huge changes and transformations in my life. I've had experiences that I thought I'd never have. So
you have blown me away, and I am so impressed with how far you've come from, you know, when I first met you, and like you said, when you were like really angry and you were really stuck and you were frustrated. I can't get over. Look at what you're doing now. You know, you're like leading the way for this guardian council that you're trying to put together. I mean, I just commend you. You know, that's what about. That's what it's all about. It's, you know, there should be no judgment in anybody's path as long as you understand that you are doing your bit. You are doing your bit every single day. I want everyone to remember when you get up in the morning, whatever it is, if you're a stay-at-home mom, start intending that everything you do, every beautiful thought that you have, every beautiful thing that you do with your child, you do it with the intention that it carries a frequency throughout the world.
Everything I was just going to say, I wouldn't have been doing the work I've done all my life as an investigator, working in criminal defense and with homeless people and debtors, and I'm sure in Lana, working with people who have emotional traumas and issues. So we truly believe that everyone on this planet and who's ever been alive has the ability to reach potentials that we couldn't even imagine. And I have faith in this, what you're saying, Alexandra.
Definitely. We're already there.
And you yourself have, you know, you liberated me. You and Lana and women like you that have come into contact with over the years have helped me selflessly, given me information and personally helped me to be on this path and to really become self-realized as much as I am now. So I'm just truly grateful.
Well, right on, David. You know what? Lana would say the same thing. You're such a hungry subject, meaning you want so much. You know, you're a lot like me. You want so much to learn and better yourself and be to the fullest potential that you are. This is what I desire for every living being on this planet, including our precious animal kingdom.
Yes, it's well worth it, and it's well worth being of service to others when you see the results and you see what people transform into.
It really creates a reason to be.
Yeah.
It's truly amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you, Alexandra. It really touched and inspired us.
Yeah, you don't even think about it being of service to others because you just want to be of service to others.
It's like bringing joy into the lives of others is the greatest joy for yourself. The people that do that, it is true. You feel a sense of joy when you're bringing joy into the lives of others, I think.
Absolutely.
Wonderful talking to you, Alexandra. Thank you so much for being on our show.
Thank you.
You are welcome. Thank you for inviting me, and I wish you both the very best down under.
And goodbye to all our listeners. I think you've all been very touched and inspired by Alexandra's words. So that's a goodbye from us at Universal Soul Love.
Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye, everyone.